I wish you could be in the studio with me today on this May the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2018, because it's Rumination Tuesday. We're taking a look at a hymn, and Pastor Mark Smith is playing the cymbals.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You like those cymbals?
I like those cymbals, yes, yes. I just got back from Detroit, Michigan, Macomb County, Michigan, and I worshiped Sunday in... Remember Ed Weber, first vice president under J.A.O. Price?
Absolutely.
At his old church, it's St. John's Fraser, Michigan.
Who's the pastor there now? Do you remember?
Pastor Smith. I can't remember his first name.
Oh, okay.
Another Pastor Smith and a Pastor Elliott.
Yeah, there's hardly any pastors who have last name Smith.
I know, not too many.
It's about 400. In fact, my pastor's name is Smith. St. Paul the Bear.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. The three of us have been in this city.
Oh, and then you're Smith.
Yeah, and then there's Greg Smith, who retired. Yeah.
Oh, my.
I know. I don't know where these Smiths came from, this German Lutheran church body.
Well, last name always referred to the occupation they had. What did a Smith do?
Well, you have blacksmiths, you know. I mean, you know, Smith was a craftsman.
Yeah, that's right. What was your family?
We were barrel makers.
Barrel makers. Beer?
From Darmstadt.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
We had a problem today because the hymn assigned for Trinity Sunday is actually in the Pentecost section entitled Come Holy Ghost Creator Blessed. It has six verses and only the last two deal with the Trinity. So I thought it would be better if we would take a look at a different hymn that was more Trinitarian-oriented. In our hymnal, there's only two hymns for Trinity Sunday.
Well, but how many doxological hymns you've got where we stand for the Trinitarian verse? There's a lot, you know, it's all the Trinity. It's all about the Trinity.
Yes. I'm trying to think.
We're in trouble if they aren't.
I don't think a Mighty Fortress is.
Oh, what you mean doxological?
Yeah. It's talking about Jesus, but be that as it may. And I was listening to KFUO yesterday, and one of the speakers was really talking about a hymn done by Herman Stumpfel Jr., died in 2007. He did not begin writing hymns till he was 62 years old, and he wrote 200 of them.
Goodness sake.
I know.
Man, that must have been all he did in retirement.
No, you can do other things. He may have driven a taxi.
How many hymns is that?
200 is 200,
think of that.
Mark.
Well, how long did he live? Let's see.
2007. Okay, if he was born in 1923, it was 1983, 85, he became 62. And then from 85 to 2007, that's a ways.
Oh, man. That's what,
85, 95. That's 22 years more.
I wonder how they were when he got toward the end.
Probably better.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Things get better.
Hopefully.
Yes. Yes, that's for sure. Voices raised to you we offer. It's one of his first hymns, it was said, and he redid it a little bit because he wanted to make Christ more at the center,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. But it certainly is a great hymn for Trinity Sunday. But it's under the section Praise and Adoration.
Praise and Adoration, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's under the wrong section, but that's still all right. Okay. First stanza, please.
All right. Voices raised to you we offer. Tune them, God, for songs of praise. Hearts and hands we bring in tribute for your gifts through all our days. Alleluia, alleluia, triune God, to you we sing.
So the very first verse mentions the triune God. And as we're going to see, verse 2 is the Father, verse 3 is the Son, and verse 4 is the Spirit. And then bring it all together again in verse 5. But voices raised to you we offer. Now, how do you explain this to a child? Tune them, God, for songs of praise. We normally don't use the word tune as a verb.
Well, our voices, you know, we're poor, miserable sinners.
Right.
And we use our voices for various things.
Oh, that's good.
Some of them not admirable.
Yeah, that's good.
Some of them not God-pleasing. but this is a prayer. We pray that God
that
would tune our voices.
Yeah, because what does tuning normally mean? If you're playing a violin or a guitar, you have to tune it ahead of time.
That's right.
To make sure that it's going to, you know, I'm just amazed watching these concerts that these guitar strings don't break or something. What would happen if that occurred while they were playing? Well, I've never seen it.
Sometimes some of these crazy concerts, they used to smash their guitar. But, remember that?
That's right.
So
yeah, I remember that band you were in. Okay. So that's a good explanation. Tune them, God, for songs of praise. Hearts and hands we bring in tribute. Okay, I can understand hearts because our new heart praises. What do they mean, hands in tribute?
Well, let's see. How's that other hymn go? Take my hands and let them be.
Oh, that's right. Very good.
Filled with what? How's that verse go?
I don't know which one on the hands.
Take my hands and let them
serve? It could be, yeah. That we use our hands. You already made the point. Our voices can be used in wrong ways, so can our hands.
Right.
And so what he's saying is that not only our hearts, but also our hands, our whole body, we bring in tribute for your gifts through all our days. Okay, I'll do two. All creation joins to praise you, earth and sky your works display. Art and music, gifts you lend us, we return to you today, alleluia, alleluia, God creator, source of life. This is one of the big things that our secular society no longer recognizes, and there was an excellent Lutheran Witness article about this, that in the Christian church, we recognize two realms over which God is, and that's the social and then the church.
Right.
Today,
kingdom of the left hand and kingdom of the right hand.
They don't recognize the kingdom of the right hand anymore, the creator. Hmm. And so the article was really encouraging parents to teach their children about the creator.
Right.
That everything we have is from the creator. And I like this. Art and music gifts you lend us. Do you remember, and I say this every time the offering comes up. I take the offering, I face the altar, and what do I say?
We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. That's what.
Excellent. And that word trust means
that he lend it to us.
Yes. So that's what I'm reminded of. Art and music gifts you lend us. They come from God. It's just really amazing how some people have those gifts.
Oh, you know what's amazing to me, Tom, is what's amazing is the plethora of gifts of music. You know,
yes.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. If there's anyone out there that knows any better, but do you find such beautiful music in connection with any other religion? I don't know. I've asked. I've tried to find this out. You know, you don't think of. I don't know. Does Islam offer?
In fact, I'll give you
such a plethora of music. Does
I'll give you the evidence of what you're saying. Did you see the wedding Saturday in Britain?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear the music?
Yes,
it was tremendous music. Yes, and guess what? They never mentioned it.
I know they didn't talk about it much.
They did not talk about the music because it's so Christian.
Yeah. What they talked a lot about was Stand By Me, which didn't mention Christ at all.
No.
That's the irony of it.
Yeah.
But they did have some beautiful music.
Oh, yes. The Anglican Church always does in their worship. And I noticed the commentators just kept quiet about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, but how can you listen to a piece from Bach and not be moved?
Oh, I know.
You know, so your point is really well taken here, that's what that music does.
But I wonder if, you know, I never hear this mentioned.
No, I don't.
I never hear the comparison between the different religions and the music that they each offer. You know, all I know, of course, basically all I know is Christian music or sacred music from
But you even made a point a while ago. Wouldn't it be nice if each Tuesday we dealt with a really good hymn? Remember?
Right.
That some hymns are just better. Now, there's a lot of hymns sung in Christian churches that are horrendous. Like, we'll know we are Christians by our love, by you know, things like that, where you're talking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, one of the things, what did they say? There were three problems with today's society. And when people just think about themselves, what's that referred to as? It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. But
I, me, and we.
Yeah, it's definitely that kind of thing. And it's just amazing how many...
Introspective, is that the word you're looking for?
Introspective, no, it was something else that...
Selfish?
Yeah, it's self-interest. There's no doubt about it, but I just can't think of the word right now. And this is just the contrary. We're seeing everything God gives us is from Him.
And another thing, mentions the art here. You know, walk through the St. Louis Art Museum and note how many pieces of art
right.
convey the Christian message.
Exactly.
Or stories from the Bible.
Exactly.
It's just amazing how much.
Yeah. Because that is what society was based on.
That's right.
For a long time.
That's right.
And in the last 30, 40 years, they've moved away into secularism where God isn't needed. In fact, I don't know. I'm going to ask you this question.
Oh.
And see if you know, because I'll let you know ahead of time I had the wrong answer. But there's an excellent article in the Lutheran Witness about parochial schools and all this kind
yes.
of thing and all this. But at any rate, the Germans left Germany and came to the United States.
Right.
And what was the main reason they did that?
Well, they, the Prussian Union, you know, they didn't want to, they were concerned about their theology. They wanted to, and I'm sure prosperity had something to do with it, the opportunity that America offered, but it was primarily it was religious. That's how our forefathers in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, that's how they came over. Now, okay, tell me I'm wrong.
Well, the article says you're wrong.
Okay.
They came because their kids in schools were being taught evolution.
Is that right?
Yes, I didn't know that.
Already then, huh?
And in the first constitution, each church was to have a parochial school. And at one time, there were more parochial schools than churches. And that's
well,
the
yeah,
reason they
I
came.
I could think there's some churches that's... Well, the first thing they did was build a school.
That's exactly right. And a lot of times the parsonage yeah. was also the school.
And the church.
And the
school were the same building.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just really amazing. Now,
and the pastor was the teacher because he was the most educated guy in the community and he was the one that...
See, in the Prussian Union you're talking about where we were forced to worship with the Reform, laws were made that the pastors could not teach.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, the children, mm-hmm. theology. In fact, here in the United States, Germany was outlawed during the Second World War, and the Supreme Court even okayed...
You're talking about the German language.
Yes.
Right.
Even okayed the arrest of a teacher who was teaching in German.
Yes. Oh, I know. Now, oh, let me tell you, my first church...
Really?
My first church, I think, still has some bullet holes in its front door. From
oh,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two schools were burned down, yeah. one in Missouri.
One was dynamited.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Right.
You know all
I
this.
Was listening to the radio earlier this morning.
Oh,
Tom.
Okay. Thank you.
They were talking about that.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned. But that was the main point they made. They
yeah.
came because of the children. I'm a member of St. Paul de Pere, 2,000 members, and they're tearing down their parochial school.
No kidding. Well, you know, you've got to
No.
Update.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
They're rebuilding a $7 million one.
Yes.
They've almost raised all the money.
They're doing, they have a similar program planned at the church, that the school that we're affiliated with, Christ Community Lutheran School.
Yes.
Same thing, yes.
And I can see why, because Illinois was making a law that kids up to grade 8 have to know all of the things that homosexuals did that were wonderful
oh,
for this country.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to have my
ridiculous.
Kids be put under that kind of ridiculous banner. So I think the schools are going to have even more of an opportunity to be bringing kids in because parents aren't going to stand for this. No. Stanza three.
Christ, the song of love incarnate, touching earth with heaven's grace, for your living, suffering, dying, for your rising, hear our praise. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ Redeemer, Lord of life.
So this stanza deals with the second person of the Trinity, Christ. And does all the main festivals, for your living, that'd be the incarnation, for your suffering, that'd be before Pontius Pilate, for your dying, that's the crucifixion, for your rising, Easter, that's the resurrection. Hear our praise. Christ Redeemer, Lord of life. Now, give me another question, see if you can answer. The Valley of Dead Men's Bones.
Yes.
And there's going to be a resurrection, you know, from the dead, and the flesh is going to be
absolutely
put on. And the point in the sermon I made is, when will this occur for you?
For me?
For my bones? People in the pews.
My bones, our bones will be raised again on the last day, when Christ comes again.
Yeah, that's the answer I wanted.
Well, in a sense, Christ was raised for us on that he's the first fruits of them that sleep.
The question is, when does this happen to you?
To me? Again. Now, my body. Now, I'll be with my Lord Jesus when I die. This very day you'll be with me in paradise. But my body will be raised on the last day.
I said, no, that's not correct. Because on what he does, he also puts in them the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's baptism, I suppose.
That's Pentecost.
Well, Pentecost too. But,
Pentecost.
But when did we receive the Holy Spirit?
Pentecost. Or baptism.
Okay, baptism.
Yeah. But see, that's my point, is that...
our eternal life begins at baptism.
We baptize an infant.
Yes.
And we can see what happens. That infant was dead men's bones.
Yeah, yeah.
And in baptism, they were raised from the dead. Remember, creating me a clean heart,
O God. Renew a right spirit within me.
It's not the day of judgment. It's the day of baptism that Ezekiel's talking about.
Okay, right.
And now we could spend a lot more time in talking about that. But that was the point. That's why Pentecost is so important and why there's more hymns for Pentecost than there is for Trinity Sunday. All right, let me read four. Because we're now to the Holy Spirit. Spirit flaming through creation, kindle faith within each heart. Lift our voices high in chorus. Through our hands your love impart. Alleluia, alleluia. Spirit helper, breath of life. Okay, what's this spirit flaming through creation? What does that remind you of?
Well, of course, the tongues of flame, we think of the tongues of poured out on the early Christians on the day of Pentecost.
But through creation, it seems like he's talking about something that happened during creation. By the way, I don't have an answer for this. I'm not sure just what he meant.
Spirit flaming through creation. Well, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Holy Spirit was back at creation just as God the Father and God the Son were.
Yes. Hovered over the face of the waters.
I guess I don't, you know, you think of the flame of the Holy Spirit in connection with Pentecost. I don't see anything wrong with using that word flaming.
Well, maybe the next phrase explains it.
Kindle faith within each heart.
Which he did with Adam and Eve.
Yes, right.
And so in that sense, that would be the flame of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting, as we've talked about this, you know, the Holy Spirit did not dwell within the Old Testament saints like he dwells within us today.
Correct. There is no one who comes to faith apart from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But the fact that your body was the temple of the Holy Spirit, that didn't occur until Pentecost.
That's New Testament. Yes.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. Last answer.
A lot of people don't realize that.
No.
They think the Holy Spirit indwelling in the Old Testament as well. Last one. How can any praise we offer measure all the thanks we owe? Take our hearts and hands and voices, gifts of love we can bestow. Alleluia, alleluia, triune God, to you we sing.
You can see why I'm going to be using this for Trinity Sunday.
Oh, yes. The whole...
Isn't it good?
The whole Godhead is represented there.
Yes, each verse. And I really like this stanza 5. What kind of praise can we offer you that would really make up for all the thanks we owe you? That's what it's saying.
Yeah. How can we begin?
No, it's impossible.
No.
No.
But some of the hymns come mighty close. I'll tell you, we sang that, that canticle hymn Sunday, the Te Deum.
Oh, my,
by
yes.
By Starkey.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
I'll
yes,
tell you,
yes.
Man, that comes awful close to give adequate praise.
Well, not only does it come close, but our organist Bender,
yes,
has done orchestration to it.
Uh-huh.
And it was sung by a youth group, and I have that on my computer.
Oh, it's just uplifting. It lifts you up.
Yeah, there's just no doubt about it. I think you're talking about hymn 936.
Somebody said they used that in connection with the royal wedding. I don't know if the words were the same. That would be
the Te Deum probably was used,
yeah.
But whether or not this particular one,
oh, okay,
I'm not sure. But now, wait a minute. I'm not sure if... It's probably not 936. That's the Benedictus. Oh, no, there it is. 941.
941.
Take a look at that.
Oh, I'll tell you, that is so beautiful. We praise you and acknowledge you.
Wasn't that good?
Oh, man.
Boy. Yeah, I don't even know if that's a hymn of the day anytime. I'll have to take a look at that. What I've done... In preparation for preaching, I put down every hymn of the day so I don't use it except when it comes about. And then I keep track of every hymn. So the organist had given me 12 hymns during Easter.
So you don't like to repeat hymns. See, I used to be that way too. But you know, that now I, as I've grown old in the ministry, that's not as much a problem anymore. If I repeat, you know, a lot of Easter hymns, I'll do use them at least a couple times. You know,
oh, a couple times.
You know, oh yeah, sure. You know, if it's a good hymn, use it again. I'll even once in a while I use a hymn. 2 Sundays after I used it before. If it's a good hymn, people are happy to sing those wonderful hymns.
Yeah, what I
don't,
like...
Don't worry about repeating hymns.
Okay, I would like to respond to that, but we're at the end of the... All right. Thank you, Pastor Mark Smith, for coming in today. And next Tuesday?
Yes.
Sounds like you'll be here.
Right.
Okay. Tomorrow... I had a phone call about somebody heard an interpretation of a parable that I really disagree with. So we're going to look at a parable tomorrow from a law gospel point of view.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.